Amen. I invite you to open your Bibles this evening in the Gospel according to Mark. Mark's Gospel in the chapter number 4. Mark's Gospel, the chapter 4. And we're going to break into the reading at the verse 35. And we're going to read down to the end of the chapter. And then also the opening verse of chapter 5. So Mark's Gospel in the chapter 4, in the verse 35. And the word of the Lord says, "The same day when the even was come, he saith unto them," speaking of Christ, "let us pass over on to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And in the verse 1 of chapter 5, they came over on to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes." Amen, and may the Lord bless the reading of his infallible word to each and to every heart. Amen. Let's have our Bibles open once again. I encourage you to keep them open even throughout the preaching. Mark's Gospel in the chapter 4. Mark's Gospel and the chapter 4, entitled the message this evening, Christ in the Storm with Us. Christ in the Storm with Us. Let's ask the Lord for his help. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us, even at this time. Father in heaven, Lord, we do rejoice that we are coming before a living God. We're coming to preach out of a living book. We thank thee that this word is settled in heaven forever. It is thy word. And, O Father, we just pray that thou wilt even come by thy Spirit, that thou wilt illuminate the page to each and to every one. God, that thou wilt even open up hearts and open up the ears and the minds this night to receive thy word. And, Father, we pray that that word will find a resting place. Lord, empty me of self and of sin even now. Fill me with thy Spirit. And Lord, give me the words to say. Give me the power from on high. And speak to each and to every one. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to direct your attention this evening to a very important lesson which Christ taught to his disciples in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. If you read Mark chapter 4 as a whole, it covers one whole day in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ upon earth. It spent that day teaching and preaching both to the people, the congregation as a whole, and also to his disciples as a group on their own. If you read Mark chapter 4, you have, and you will read the parable of the sower, how the seed would land upon the stony ground, how the seed would land and the thorns would grow up amongst it, how the seed would also fall upon the good ground. You will also read in chapter 4 of Christ explaining that parable to his disciples. They had to have that time alone with the Lord whenever they came and simply asked the Lord to explain it. And they had to open up their minds and their hearts and explain it even in the simplest way possible to show them of how it meant the preaching and the going forth of the seed of the Word of God. Then Christ, as you continue through chapter 4, he spent time expounding in the kingdom of God. Sermon after sermon, doctrine after doctrine, Christ preached from morning until night. The even time came and they sent the people away. And they went into a boat to pass over the Sea of Galilee. It's important to highlight at the outset, it is the Lord's desire to go across the sea. After all, he is the one who says to the disciples in the verse 35, "Let us pass over onto the other side." It is not the disciples that are wishing to get away. It is not the disciples that are pressing the Lord to move on. It is the Lord's desire to move, and it's the Lord's will for all of the disciples to move. And so they come across that sea. These men, in obedience to Christ, they set sail even though it was nighttime. And yet, in the midst of that night, even though they're obeying the Lord, without argument, without murmuring, without discontentment, without disagreement, yet they're still going to be subjected to a great storm. You see, it's important to highlight not every storm in life is because of punishment. Not every storm that the Lord sends our way, not every trial that comes our way, not every upset that comes our way is because of sin in our lives. Yes, it's true, when Jonah got into the ship at Tarshish and was heading across, or went down to Joppa, was heading over to Tarshish, the Lord sent a great storm because Jonah was disobeying the word of God. The Lord had to turn him. But not every storm that comes your way and comes my way is because of sin or disobedience in our lives. Storms in life do come. Storms of life come to us all. Yes, some of those storms are greater than others. Some of the storms in your life may be more frequent than what is experienced by those around you. You may have to go from one storm to another every week, every day, another trial upon a family or upon a workplace. You look around at others and seemingly they're just plain sailing through life. There's no issues, there's no hardships. But know the important to remember, storms do come. But what is wonderful is whenever you're a child of God, and that Christ is with you even in the storm. There are four things I want to leave with you tonight in relation to this time that the Lord spends in that ship. I want you to see, firstly, the person that is with you in the storm. The person that is with you in the storm. The verse 38, it tells us that he, speaking of Christ, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now, this is the only reference in the New Testament. This is the only reference in Christ's earthly ministry where it mentions Christ asleep. And this particular point in the Lord's life is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and indeed in Luke. It's the same remarkable fact. It's the same time that's mentioned in all three of those Gospels. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, is asleep. You see, it's important to highlight when Christ came into this world, yes, he continued to be God. Never set aside his deity. He never set aside that divine person in the Godhead. He was still truly God, fully God of fully God, and yet whenever he came down to this earth, he became fully man, or truly man. The human nature was taken into a perfect union with the divine nature. You know, it's an amazing doctrine. It's one that will never plumb to the depths of. It's not one that can ever be explained in its totality or its fully completeness. That you have a man, and yet he's still fully God. Two natures in one person forever. Oh, how true are the words that Paul wrote, saying, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh." And the Lord, even in this life as God, he completely understood everything that those disciples were going through. It's important to highlight that even for your own life. The Lord understands exactly everything that you're going through in this life. The Lord understands the trials of this journey through life. He understands every hardship. He understands every despair. You know, some people, in the midst maybe of a trial in a marriage, maybe a family is being broken up. Husband or the wife leave the other. They might say, oh, how does God understand this? Christ never was married. How could Christ understand? Well, I refer you to the book of Hosea. Because Hosea's wife went away off into the world. And Hosea had to go and buy her back. And he found her and she was totally ravaged with sin. That she was only worth half the price of a common slave. And he bought her back. He brought her back into the home. And each and every person that came to sympathize with him, what did Hosea use it for? He says, no, this is exactly how you, Israel, have treated the Lord. That covenant agreement between God and Israel. And yet, Israel, you've left. You've broken that marriage. Because you went after every false god. You went after Baal. You went after all of those false gods. My friend, tonight, understand this. The Lord is touched with the feeling of our infirmities because the Lord understands every single trial and every single hardship. He knows the trials of a man. He knows the testing. He knows the temptations. He's experienced them all. He knows the bodily infirmities of a man, for he's felt them for himself. There were times of hunger. The Lord Jesus Christ, he ate. There were times of sorrow. The Lord Jesus Christ, he shed a tear. There were times of tiredness, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he lay down and he slept. You know, it's interesting, it's wonderful just in passing. Tyre, as I said, chapter 4, it's one day in the life of Jesus. He spent it from morning until nighttime preaching and teaching, and guess what? He's the one that's tired and had to lie down. No, it's wonderful whenever the congregation tires the preacher out, as opposed to the preacher tiring the congregation out. I wasn't old enough to be in the martyrs whenever Dr. Myron Giler was over preaching. I believe it was about 87. And I was only a cub of 2 years old. But I've watched that sermon of his many times on YouTube. And he mentioned about how he went, I believe it was to Ukraine or Romania. And people walked all day to come to the service and he preached. And he stopped and they said, now preach another one. And the people never had a seat to sit on. They stood and they never moved. They never twitched. They never complained. They never had to leave because of sore feet. And it turned round and he says, now preach another one. And he preached hour after hour and it turned round and the people said to him, you'll not tire these people out. They'll tire you out. Now that's wonderful times of blessing whenever there's such a hunger for the Word of God. There's such a desire within men and women to hear the Lord speak. Here was it in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, in the Lord's day. The people simply wouldn't go home. Now if you go past, five past, they are. People start and go, is he not finished yet? And yet in the Lord's day, they actually had to go and tell the people, no, please go home. That tiresome body of the Lord Jesus Christ, he got into that ship. The servants, the disciples, they started to row across the sea. Christ went into the hindermost part. He lay down and he went to sleep. And so there he was at the back of the boat asleep. You see, he's with you even in the storm. That storm arose. They didn't have to ask, where's the Lord? The waves started coming, the wind was howling, and they didn't have to go, oh, the Lord's not with us in the ship. No, he was there. See, that's the joy for the Christian. He's with us in every storm. Even as he ascended up into heaven, what did he say to his disciples? Lo, I'm with you always. He's with us every single step. And some may say, oh, but he's sleeping. What good was he doing? He's sleeping. The waves are coming over the sides of the boat. The wind is howling. The waves are crashing. The water's filling up the boat. He's asleep. What good is the Lord? Or to some, it may seem as if he's unconcerned of the danger that his disciples were in. Verse 38, even the disciples went to him and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Remember what I said earlier? Christ never left off being God. Psalm 121, the verse 4, reminds us, God never sleeps. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. But you know, it is true that the Lord sometimes has to withdraw himself from his people. And child of God, as you read through the scriptures and as you take them in your own private study, and even whenever you come to the public place and the scriptures are read, read every word. Because every detail that is given to us in the Gospels, every detail that is given to us in the narrative throughout the scriptures, every detail is there for a reason. And it tells us even that it says in that verse that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's in the hinder part of the ship. What did that mean? His disciples had to go to him. He wasn't lying at the front where they would see him. He wasn't lying in the midst amongst them where they could just, as it were, prod him without even having to move. No, they had to go to the hinder part of the ship. They had to go to him. Isaiah 45, verse 15. Isaiah writing, he says, Verily thou art a God that hideth thyself. You know, there in the boat, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's withdrawn. You could say he's hidden himself at the back of the boat. Why? To teach the children, to teach the apostles, to go and look for him. So the disciples wouldn't rest upon themselves. So the disciples wouldn't say, we're the fishermen. This is our jobs. This is what we've done all of our lives. We've been trained up. We know what it is to row across the Sea of Galilee. No, they have to go and look for Christ. Habakkuk 2, the verse 3, it says, Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. You see, everything that day pointed, every sermon that Christ preached, and even this practical lesson that he's now given to the disciples there on the Sea of Galilee, everything's pointing to this, the necessity of having the Lord in your life. The sower going to sow. Without the Lord giving the increase, the spreading of the seed was for nothing. The kingdom of God. The kingdom needs a king to reign. And these disciples needed a Savior to save them. Oh, even though they're experienced fishermen, I'm sure they faced many storms over the years. I'm sure there were times before whenever they were there, even with their father, whether it was Zebedee for James and John. And they're trained up and their fathers even send them, don't worry, we'll get through this storm, do this, do that. And yet this particular storm comes upon them, even though they've experienced them before, yet it tells us they're fearful. They couldn't get past the storm themselves, could they? Everything they tried to get that boat to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, everything was failing. You know, men and women, the storms in your life, so often they're greater than you. So So often they're more than you can take. No, I've heard it many times and I've thought about it many times. So often you hear the phrase, the Lord will never give you more than you can take, more than you can handle. I do question it to a certain extent, because if we go down that line, then you're resting in yourself. Because if the Lord brings more our way than we can handle, it means our dependency, we're going to look to the Lord. We're not going to simply sit back and go, I can handle this one on my own. Because remember, the Israelites, whenever they defeated Jericho, the first great city, all walled up to heaven. The Lord gave them the entire battle plan. What you had to do, walk around the city for 7 days. On the seventh day, walk around it 7 times. Never do anything, never speak. But then, at the very appointed time, you shout. And the walls are going to come down. Great victory. The next day, then, the next battle, Ai, it's only a wee city. You don't even need to take us all. We'll sort this one out. They never went to the Lord for their battle plans. They never took every Israelite. They never obeyed the commands of the Lord. And what happened? They ran in the face of Ai's. Brothers and sisters, when the storms in your life come, whether they be greater or whether they be lesser than those that you've experienced in the past, for every single trial, every single hardship, you need the Lord Jesus Christ with you in the boat. For everyone. When you see, secondly, then, the power of the Lord in the midst of the storm, the verse 39. He arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. They went to the back of the boat. They went to the Lord and they said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Lord Jesus, he gets up. Peace. Be still. And those waves that were crashing in over the sides of the boat, the wind that was howling, everything completely calm. It's just like the light switch. It just, everything stopped completely dead. Down. You know, just as the sheep know the voice of the shepherd, so too does creation know the voice of the Creator. The Lord spoke everything into existence. The Lord's the one that can control it even by his voice. He simply got up. He never took the hand of the tiller. He never took an oar in his hand or anything. He never said, put the sails up or put the sails down. No, he just simply stood up. Peace! Be still. And everything just calmed. No, his power, his authority, his control was simply there in his spoken word. Psalm 65 in the verse 7 really is a fulfillment of that scripture. Speaking of the Lord, it says, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. The Lord didn't have to do anything other than speak. He spoke to the wind, they obeyed him. He spoke to the waves, and they submitted to his command. There wasn't even a puff of wind after that. There wasn't even a splash of a wave. Yes, Jesus Christ is man. But here we see the very clear evidence, Jesus Christ is God. And Jesus Christ has the power of God. Isn't that what we learn in the shorter catechism, even as we come up through the youth? Three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. Jesus Christ came down, veiled in human flesh, but he still had his power. You know, the Lord can calm any storm, whether it be a physical storm, whether it be a personal storm, whether it be a spiritual storm. You know, we've seen many storms across our nation. Indeed, across the world, in the first 9 months of this year, we've seen many sadnesses, many tragedies. We've seen many hardships ranging from one part of the globe right to the other. We've seen forest fires in Australia. We've seen locusts and plagues off them in Africa. We've seen forest fires in California. We've seen coronavirus, of course, sweep right across every single nation. We've watched, even over these last number of months in America, as they've literally burnt cities to the ground. Many storms. On top of that, you have all of the individual, the personal storms, those that you are affected with, which no one else is affected with. The loss of health, the loss of loved ones, the loss maybe of a job, something that is very, very individual, very, very personal just to you. Something that has completely upset your whole life and completely upset your family. Storms which very easily could overflow you. But child of God, remember there is nothing impossible with Him. There's no stormy passion which is too strong that He cannot tame. There's no temper which is too rough or violent that He cannot change. There's no conscience which is too disquieted that He cannot speak peace. No man need ever despair if they'll only bow down and humble themselves before the Lord and ask Him to help. Now that's what had to happen with the disciples there in the storm. The Lord knew the storm was going on, but He never spoke until the disciples came to Him. They firstly had to humble themselves. They firstly had to accept, yes, we're fishermen, but this is greater than us. Doesn't matter if we add all of our years of experience as fishermen together. It doesn't matter how many years we can come up with. We're not getting through this without the Lord. You know, 1 John 4, in the verse 4, it says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. It's important to remember. You're saved here tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ is in you. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. My friend, you think tonight the storms of life are great, Christ is greater still. He's the one who has the power to calm the storm. He's the one who has the power to calm your heart. My, how much fear is in our world and in our nation today. Even Christians are going about, and the more that they listen to the media, the more that they listen to the news, the more that the heart gets a flutter. And yet the Lord is over all. The Lord knew what was coming in 2020. Everything is happening in accordance with His will. He has the power to calm your storm. He has the power to calm your heart. But then thirdly, I want you to see the verse 41. I want you to see not only the person with you in the storm and the power in the storm, but I want you to see the presence with you in the storm. Verse 41, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. You realize they were actually more fearful after the storm had died down than they were during the storm. In the midst of the storm, they're fearful. After Christ has calmed the storm, they're now exceedingly fearful. The word for exceedingly is the Greek word megas. You get the English word mega from. So in the midst of a storm which They were concerned was going to take their life. They were fearful. But yet when the storms calm down, there's no waves, there's no wind, neither exceedingly fearful. You see, the Lord in His grace, His mercy, He just opened their eyes and they realized whose presence they were really in. God had revealed Himself to them in such power they knew they were not worthy to be before Him. They were before the Lord and their lack of faith had been exposed. Now when you think about it, as I said, the detail in Scripture is so important. There was a miracle happening in that boat even in the midst of the storm. Because it tells us in verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The boat's full of water, but the boat's not sinking. And it's not sunk. Kind of reminds you, burning bush, doesn't it? There was fire in the bush, but yet it never burned. And there's a boat in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. The water has filled it. You fill a boat with water, what's it going to do? Down. And yet even though the miracle was right there for them all to see, yet their fear and their lack of faith made them exceedingly fearful. See, whenever you realize the presence of God, whenever you realize you're in the presence of God, let me apply this particular to any that are unsaved. Whenever you realize you're in the presence of Almighty God, you have much to fear. If you remain in your sin, you've no faith in Jesus Christ. If you've never turned from your sin, if you've never accepted the salvation which Jesus Christ offers, if you've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and believed on His death and believed on His resurrection, it's the only way to have your sins forgiven, is the only way to have peace with God. And my friend, you have much to fear. Man in his sinful state with no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, putting it very simply, he has no regard for Christ. If God was to reveal Himself to you, because do remember, each and every one, you're always in God's presence. Anywhere you go, you're always in God's presence. He is an omnipresent God. Doesn't mean that His presence is everywhere. He isn't some kind of blanket that's spread out across the world. The omnipresence of God means this: everything is present before Him. Such is the magnitude and the greatness of Almighty God that the entire nations, all of the world, is right there before Him. Isn't that what Solomon said at the opening of the temple? They built the most beautiful building, the temple. They arrayed it. They adorned it with the curtains, the marble, all of the jewels. It was glittering. It was gleaming. And he went in before the Lord on behalf of the people. And he prayed, "Behold, the heavens and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, O Lord." Why? Because He's greater than all. You can't run from the face of God. Oh, you can try. Jonah tried it. He ended up at the bottom of the sea in a wheel. Hagar, she ran, and what did she have to say? "Thou God seest me." Why? Because she never left God's presence. My friend, it doesn't matter how far you run, it doesn't matter where you go, you will never get out of God's presence. God sees you wherever you go. So my question is this: if God was to reveal Himself to you, God was to reveal who He truly is, God was to show you something of His holiness, something of His purity, God was to show you something of his justice and what you deserve in your sin, if God was to show you something of his power and his knowledge, his understanding of all things, if God was to show you something of his sacrifice, his love, tell me, how would you appear and how would you be before the Lord? Each one that has no faith in Jesus Christ, let's be honest, how can you stand before him? How can you expect to be accepted by him? If the Lord was to reveal himself, and remember, there is coming a day you will stand before Almighty God. And the Lord says to you, what did you do with the free offer of salvation? And you say, no, I just turned my back on it. I heard it time after time. I heard a preacher preach every single time saying about how Jesus Christ died and put on the cross. And we don't have to do anything other than simply believe in him to get to heaven. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to do anything, simply turning from our sin and trusting in Christ. And we said no. How will you ever stand before him? Is not what Hebrews 2 and verse 3 is saying? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I plead with you in my Savior's name tonight, if you're not saved, turn to Christ. Put your faith in him. Repent of your sins. Seek the forgiveness, the full forgiveness, the full salvation which he alone can offer and give. The person, the power, the presence. But to verse 35, I want to highlight something just as we close. I want you to see the promise when you're in the midst of a storm. The promise in the midst of the storm. Lord, the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Christ, even before they set off, in that command assured them they were going to get there. He didn't say, let's go out into the sea. No, he says, let us pass over unto the other side. And of course, the Lord Jesus is the one who knows the end from the beginning. He knows all things. He knew there was going to be a storm that night. He knew exactly what was going to happen. But he also knew they were going to make it to Gadara. Isn't that what it says in the verse number 1 of chapter 5, they came over onto the other side of the sea. Why? Because the Lord had already said, we're going to get there, let us go on to the other side. He knew the storm would come, he knew how severe it would be, he knew how dangerous it would be, but yet he knew after all of that, he knew it was all going to be well. Now that's a wonderful promise for every child of God. Storms come. Storms go. Never forget the words in Scripture, it came to pass. It came. But it will pass. Know when you're in the midst of a storm, and you think of this the next time, and you look up to the sky and the rain's falling out of the sky, and you look that way, that way, that way. You look behind you and everything around you is dark clouds. And yet if you were to get into an aeroplane, which not many of us are doing these days, that aeroplane is going to go up through the clouds. What are you going to see above the clouds? You're going to see sunshine. The Lord's the one who sees above the clouds. He sees above the storms. He knows when that storm cloud's going to pass on. Oh yes, we may look around, we may not see the end of it, we may not even still now see the beginning of it, we may just see darkness and blackness of clouds, but yet the Lord above it, He sees when it comes to an end. And my friend, if you're in Christ, the storms will come to an end. They come, but they pass. You know, fear cripples us. But faith, that's where we have our strength. That's where we have our confidence. And in the midst of these lives as we go through them, and every trial, every hardship, every storm that comes our way, when we have an anchor in the solid rock of Christ, we can smile at the storm. We can thank God for the storm. Because remember, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So when Christ is with us, what have we to fear? Is Christ with you this evening? Are you leaving tonight, back through those doors, thanking the Lord for salvation? Even as a brother prayed in the prayer meeting, thanking the Lord for stooping so low to pick up something so insignificant. Are you saying, thank you, Lord, for being my Savior and being my shepherd? Are you walking out the doors tonight saying, I have no hope? I have nothing. My friend, if that's you tonight, I plead with you in my Savior's name, don't walk out those doors. Don't leave here without Christ. If I can be of any help to you in this meeting, I'll be more than happy to spend time with you and speak to you and point you to the one, the only one, who can give you peace, give you joy, give you life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee for the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. We thank Thee for Thy love and Thy compassion. We thank Thee, O God, that whenever Thou dost redeem a soul, Lord, Thou dost not simply leave us to ourselves, but rather Thou art the one who never leaves us and who never forsakes us. We thank Thee that our Savior becomes a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Father, we commit each and every one into Thy hands this evening, those that are before us and those that have listened online. Lord, Thou knowest the needs of every heart. O God, we pray that if any be before us or have listened in tonight out of Christ without a Savior, oh, that this will be the night when they meet with Jesus, and they turn from their sin, and they give their hearts unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us and bless us. Separate us now in Thy fear and with Thy blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to thank you for coming, and pray the Lord to bless each one as you go on your onward journey. Thank you.